FNR, Football Nation Radio. Culture Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Nestor Fasana has blown the full-time whistle and Australia have done it. It has taken 884 days, 22 games and an awful lot of soul-searching along the way. But Australia are going to their fourth consecutive World Cup finals.
Yes, welcome Australia. This is FNR Football Nation Radio, your first and only 24-hour radio station dedicated to football. I'm Carlos Alberto Diego and this is Calcio Cafe, the only breakfast show dedicated to football in Australia and the only breakfast show that's going to be wall-to-wall Socceroos this morning. Of course, the Socceroos winning last night comprehensively 3-1 in the game against Honduras, a cutthroat World Cup qualifier. We're going to the World Cup again, fourth time in a row since we broke the drought back in 2006 with the Golden Generation. And it's a happy, happy time across Australia. If you want to have your say this morning, want to celebrate, want to talk about the way the team played, want to talk about our chances in Russia, give us a call on any of our live shows today, 99-99-99. That's 99-99-99. 03 in front of that if you're outside Victoria, and plus 613 if you're overseas. You can also SMS us your thoughts and comments on 0428 933 345. That's 0428 933 345. As I said, today is all about the Socceroos. We'll be talking to many Socceroos and many journos who covered the Socceroos over the last 22 games and over the last 3 years under Ange Postecoglou. And we'll be talking about every aspect of the game across all our shows today. So stick with FNR Football Nation Radio throughout the day today. Coming up in the cafe this hour, we'll have a full wrap of the great night that Socceroos had last night in their win over Honduras in the cutthroat World Cup qualifier, second leg in Sydney. And with thanks to Fox Sports, we'll have all the press conference audio from both coaches, goals, post-game reaction from players, and everything that you'd want to get a wrap on what actually happened last night. We also catch up with one of our greats, one of the Golden Generation greats. In fact, one of the guys who was responsible in that penalty shootout back in 2005 to get us to the World Cup in Germany, and that was Mark Schwarzer from Optus Sports. He'll be joining us also. So there's a heap to talk about today. We're all really happy. It's a great day in Australia for not only Australian football, but Australian sport and Australia in general. We're going to the World Cup in Russia in 2018. So let's get into it.
It's going to be Miller yet again, deflected and in. Australia leads. It is a goal that means the world to the Socceroos. It's a goal that could mean the World Cup for the Socceroos. 53 minutes played. Captain Socceroo delivers. Lovely stuff between Bajic and Moy. Poor release, but it'll drop here for Rogic. As he pointed to the penalty spot here, the referee has handball against Brian Acosta. Well, I have to confess, I didn't spot that, but the referee from Argentina certainly did. And he's awarded Ange Postecoglou's team a penalty kick, which, if successful, could well take them to Russia. Penalty controversy, as we had in the first leg.
Well, it was beautiful down the left-hand side from Australia. There it is.
He's, and
the
referee, it well,
perfectly positioned.
Yedinak against Donis Escobar. A huge kick in the context of this two-legged tie. Mili Yedinak fires it home despite a touch by Escobar. And our Australia on their way to Russia. It very much seems that way. Captain Courageous, injured for most of the season. Two goals on the night. Australia, two goals to the good. Here's a chance, Robbie Cruz, through one-on-one, this should clinch it, tackle from behind, penalty, second spot kick of the game, Johnny Palacios receives a booking, and Miller Yedinak on a hat-trick. And whatever the outcome, if he scores, Australia are on the way to Moscow. Book your flights, get your match tickets. Australia are going to a fourth consecutive World Cup. Miller Yedinak from the spot. Maybe the last action of the game. Martinez with the corner. Ryan attempting to punch. It's nodded back towards goal, and they have got one back. Albert Ellis forces the ball over the line.
But Australia didn't deal with this corner. Enough bodies there. Matt Ryan comes and doesn't claim, and then in the scramble, again, it was pretty untidy, but Ellis gets the goal.
Yes, there you have it. 3-1 winners, comprehensive in the end. The better side over two legs. Australia defeat Honduras 3-1. Three goals by the man mountain himself, the captain of the side, Captain Courageous, Captain Marvel, whatever you want to talk to, however you want to describe him. Mille Yennet got three goals last night. A guy who has been struggling for fitness for such a long time, so important to this team. Not always appreciated by fans out there and also the media, but he's much loved within that camp and first picked when he's available. So much so that the FFA and Ange Postecoglou made sure that he had his own physio in the 3 weeks leading up to these games to make sure he was going to be right to play in these games. And what a great amount of money spent for us getting to the World Cup, getting our captain, the team captain who's so well respected, up and running for these games. And he ended up delivering on the night 3-0 and so deserved by a guy who's been such a stalwart for the team for so long. Ange Postecoglou obviously was a very much a talking point for really since the time of changing formations almost 6 months ago, and debate and controversy over the change of formation in the middle of a World Cup campaign. Copped a lot of criticism over that, a lot of angst between Ange and the media over those changes. And of course, after the Syrian playoffs where we qualified to play Honduras 24 hours afterwards. So, in fact, the next morning after the win in Sydney, where Tim Cahill did so well to get us through to these next lot of playoffs, the story came out that Ange Postecoglou was going to leave, whether Australia had qualified or not, at the end of these two games against Honduras. He hasn't clarified that since, but there was a lot of interest in the press conference after the game last night.
I just said, if when you're coaching your own national team, there's an extra layer of burden of responsibility there, because you can't know what it means to the nation and to the code and to these players and the staff and management and the organisation. Everyone's worked awfully hard over the last 2.5 years. It's been 22 hard games, and you want them to get rewarded for it. So, just seeing them in the dressing room now, it's overwhelming.
Peter, what do you think of the dressing room?
They're happy, mate. Yeah, they're
happy, relieved, jubilant.
No, they're happy, mate. They got what they deserved. It wasn't by luck or by chance. They believed in something that we started, and right to the end. Displayed the kind of resilience and belief that, has made me proud of them all the way along. And they're happy because they did it their way, and they're getting the rewards for it.
And congratulations, great achievement. When you talked to players at halftime and you came up with a plan for the second half, what would you say and what did you have in mind?
Yeah, look, we kind of knew the first half would be pretty tight. They're a good side. We didn't allow them to really play in the first game, but we kind of knew that they had a fair bit of resilience in them, and they set up a little bit differently today. And they slowed the game down in the first half, which we kind of knew, and they tried to hit us on the break. So at halftime, it was just a reinforcement of make sure we continue to be the team we want to be. And if we keep persisting in our football and keep asking them questions, eventually they'll wilt, because that's the nature of the way we play the game. And the beauty of it is, I guess, once we got the first goal, it was, their only thought was, let's go get a second. And once we got the second, let's go get a third. And there was never any, trying just to hold on to what we had. And I think that broke their spirit in the end.
Wow. And your captain, Mille Yennet, had an extraordinary performance tonight. How much of the rock has he been upon which you've built this team this last 4 years?
Yeah, he's been a very important part. When we started 4 years ago, we literally started almost from zero in terms of experience. And it was really important to me that you know, the players who did stay on, or the experienced players like Millet, like Timmy, like you know, Mark Milligan, Matty McKay initially, they had to be really not just good players but good characters, and you know, they had to buy into what I was trying to do. And right from day one, you know, Millet stood up. I think he's been an outstanding captain, outstanding leader on and off the park, and it was great to see him out there tonight. You know, he's obviously missed a bit of our the end bit of our campaign, but it was right that he was out there today, because you know, the early part of qualifying, which was a real grind for us because it had to be, because all the players, it was their first experience of it. It was the likes of him and Timmy and, as I said, Millsy, a couple of others who steered him through it.
Tom, and all those emotions that you feel
when
the roller coaster came like that, the team's got through
a couple
of very, very hard
times
with
them. Oh, yeah, I guess so. But, you know, right now it's just about, I guess, enjoying... You know, enjoying the moment, because you know, I owe it to myself, I guess, but I owe it to particularly my family, my wife, my boys, my friends, because while I've got a thick skin, they've had to cop what I've been copying, and you know, it's unfair on them. So tonight's just about enjoying it and hopefully seeing their smiling faces, and you know, what happens beyond here can be picked up tomorrow, and we can decide then.
Patrick, how much time would you give yourself now to process the win and work out what you want to do?
Oh, it won't take too long. You know, I'll sit down with you know, with the powers that be, and you know, obviously it's important that you know, the planning goes ahead. The draw is not too far away, and there's all sorts of things to do. So you know, it won't take too long. But like I said, I'm going to make sure I enjoy this first.
So what's the next few months look like for yourself and for the team as a whole going forward?
Well, yeah, again, we'll pick that up over the next... look, a lot of the planning for the World Cup is already in place. We've already got a training base. We've already got a city we're going to stay in. All that stuff we've done, you know, 12 months ago. So everything's pretty much in place. There isn't another game till March. So from that perspective, there's nothing of real urgency. I guess the draw is the next main sort of marker where, you know, you find out who you play and where you're playing. So that'll all happen, I guess, in the very near future.
Just one on the plane, sorry. The quick trip home, the chartered flight and all that came with it. Believe it all paid off and
Yeah, look, I mean, it's great, and you know, again, I guess it's the level of professionalism we want to be, but yeah, we don't need to emphasise it too much. At the end of the day, we went there without a charter. We went there and travelled a hell of a long way to get there, and they were already there in camp, so this group's pretty resilient. And to be honest, we could have got them to walk and swim home, and they still would have put on a performance tonight.
You said you made it quite clear that you wanted to create a style for Australia, you wanted to make a statement about what Australian football's like. Do you feel you have achieved that aim now, and that's the primary part of what your job is about?
I feel I proved that 2.5 years ago, and we've continued to do it. And from my perspective, yeah, I said to the players before the game, I actually showed them what I said at the press conference when I took over, and I said, you know, we're not going to take any backward steps. We're going to be bold, we're going to be ambitious, and with that, you know, will come some stumbles, some scrutiny. A lot easier to take a comfortable road, and, you know, it could have been very convenient for me to say, look, it's, you know, it's a young group and we've got to be patient, but all along I've just pushed and pushed and pushed, and you know, I can't speak highly enough of these players and this you know, group of people that they've embraced it, and along the way, like I said, we've taken the hard road. Hasn't been easy, and there have been some stumbles, but we've played 22 games of World Cup qualifying. We've lost two. You know, this group of players deserves a hell of a lot of credit for getting us to a World Cup.
Do you feel vindicated, Ange, and do you have anything to say to those people who did
the
work, you know, giving
us a speech? Oh, mate, you know what? If people still think that I go around worrying about what other people are saying, trying to get some vindication, they're just, they've missed the last 20 years. I've been coaching for 20 years, mate. I won my first championship when I was 31 years old. And you know what? I can coach for another 20 years and I'll always be an outsider in Australian football. I don't have the glittering Socceroo career that you need, but that's fine. I wear that as a badge of honour, as I keep saying to people. The more that comes my way, the more determined and resilient I am to just keep going down my own path. It's worked well for me. Some people don't like it. But to be fair, I've had a hell of a lot of support from players, coaches, just the general sporting public. There's not a day goes by where maybe I just see the nice ones, but people are consistently giving me encouragement, and that's all I need. The people who don't get me have never got me and will never get me. So,
Con, and then we'll finish with Dave.
Ange, when you consider there's big teams that haven't made the World Cup, Italy, Holland, where does this achievement sit amongst that, that Australia will be there and those teams aren't going there?
Oh, look, I definitely think in terms of, you know, world football, it has changed. The traditional, you know, path to a World Cup where you just know that certain teams are always going to be there, it just doesn't exist anymore. Everything's, you know, everything's evened up around the world, and that includes us in this region. You know, we've done it the hard way, but you can't tell me, you know, the likes of Japan or Korea had it any easier, and they're traditional powerhouses in the region as well. So Asia itself is going to get harder, and I think the next cycle is going to be even harder than this one. So it's a fantastic achievement, and we shouldn't take it for granted. And, you know, we should appreciate that come June next year, there's going to be some very, very strong football-loving nations who are going to be watching us while they're on their holidays.
And fitting that given the style of play you're playing, how you stuck by it, and obviously he was the one that sort of broke the game and hopefully that powerful formulate sort of the kick. And second question is, you talk about being an outsider, but we've had the whole run this week with 70% voters said if we get to a World Cup, they'd love you to stay. What is it about supporters as they awaken to you?
Yeah, look, in terms of Tommy, Rogic, he was brilliant tonight. And I said to him before the game that, in fact, after the first game, that I knew this was going to be his night. He's just, he wants it so badly. And part of the problem with him is he wants it that badly that he gets really frustrated. But he's a fantastic young player. And he's going to become more and more important with the more games he plays. And tonight, he was the one that kind of provided that spark. We needed him too, because it was going to be a tight game and we needed someone like him or an Aaron to really break it open, and Tommy was outstanding. Look, as I said, probably the one thing I haven't done well is show the amount of support I have had. You know, I think people have presumed that I've been under siege or felt under siege because, you know, certain people throwing things my way, but for the most part, like I said, I got a hell of a lot of encouragement from just the general public, and like I said, a lot of people in the game. They just don't happen to hold a microphone, so you know they don't get heard. But this has been the greatest honour of my life. Like I said, there's some fantastic advantages when you coach your own country. You kind of, you know the mindset, you know the culture, but as I said, there's an extra layer of burden there that, you know, if you're not successful, there's nowhere to hide. I've still got to live here. You know, if I was a foreigner, I could pack my bags and go home. So you feel that way, and I certainly have for the whole 4 years. You know, when I took over and it kind of looked at what was ahead of us, a World Cup with, you know, an absolutely rookie squad playing against three of the top 10 nations in the world. You've got an Asian Cup 6 months later where, you know, the expectations are we had to win it. We had to win it. It was on our turf. I was determined to win it. And then knowing that this, how hard this World Cup campaign was going to be, you know, and you know, this group of players has done it all. It's been a remarkable 4 years. And within that, it's not just the results, it's the way we've gone about it. Like I said, tonight when I saw them going for the second goal, when I saw them going for the third goal, that's exactly the way I want my teams to play, and I think moving forward it's what's going to make us hopefully make people stand up and take notice.
That's Ange Postecoglou, Victoria's coach there for the Socceroos. 3-1 winners over Honduras in the Cutthroat World Cup qualifying playoff last night. Australia is going to Russia, their fourth consecutive World Cup campaign after 32-year drought leading into 2006. And it's just a magnificent achievement by this country, by its football, by its football coach, and also by its football team. Yes, they had to do the 22 games. It's the longest journey any team has had to go through to get to the World Cup, but they managed to achieve it last night, and they did it in the end with style. 3-1. Their captain, Milia Jedinak, had to score all three goals, and two of them were penalties and one was from a deflected free kick, but it doesn't matter. They're going to the World Cup and they're playing a positive brand of football that just will get better. And hopefully, from my personal point of view, I hope Ange Postecoglou is at the helm when we get to Russia next season. Jorge Luis Pinto is the very colourful coach of Honduras, and of course he went through a bit of a shattering outcome last night with his team not qualifying for the World Cup. He had a very interesting press conference, and here it is.
Coach, you seem tired and a bit sad. We want to know why the team started so defensively, and it seemed as though as Australia under us.
Siempre la visión de los periodistas es esa, ¿no? ¿Por qué salgo a jugar tan defensivo? ¿No? Australia nos presionó, nos quitó el balón con mala intención o con un fútbol agresivo que el árbitro permitió. Nos presionó y no pudimos encontrar claridad con la pelota. Eso hay que ser sincero en eso. Pero no es que uno mande a jugar atrás inmediatamente. El técnico es responsable. No es visualizar la acción que se está dando. No, el técnico se lo mandó a jugar defensivamente. No. Lógico que me iba a defender porque tenía que sacar, controlar el partido los primeros minutos. Pero igual teníamos opciones de salir jugando, de atacar, ¿no?
He didn't intend to be so defensive. Australia was very good with their pressure. Obviously, we tried to create chances, but we were not able to. Australia were very strong and aggressive, and their pressure got to us.
Next question. Sorry. Honduras.
Algunos hondureños están preguntando cuál es su futuro en Honduras.
Me parece que ahora responda por mi futuro en Honduras cuando acabo de terminar con semejante golpe.
So she was asking about his future in Honduras. And our head coach answer is that after...
Para algunos periodistas hondureños solamente interesa el futuro de Pinto, más que el partido. ¡Qué locura!
Some journalists are more concerned about Pinto's future other than the result of the match.
Pasan por encima un partido que era clave para Honduras, que era importante en el mundo internacional. Inmediatamente, ¿qué va a hacer Pinto?
So they're overlooking the match, you know, such a crucial game for Honduras, and try to focus on Pinto's future.
Next.
What do you think of Australia in the World Cup?
Es un equipo que tiene oficio, tiene sus posicionamientos tácticos importantes. Yo siempre dije que era un equipo pesado, recio. Hoy de pronto le permitió al árbitro el fuego brusco, porque la intención desde el primer minuto fue acabar con Ellis como fuera, porque sabían que era el lugar peligroso del partido.
So he's saying that Australia, it's a good team. They played very strong and aggressive. They tried to neutralize Ellis since the very start. A lot of fouls and an aggressive team overall. Australia, good team.
Gonzalo.
No,
coach. Coach, when did you think the game was out of your hands? When did you feel that Australia was in control of the game?
El partido era previsible, que era un partido disputado, sí, y no tan disputado y con mala intención de algunos jugadores de Australia sobre algunos jugadores nuestros. No tuvimos el control del partido, pero estábamos aguantando y sabiendo que Australia salía así a presionar, que iba a aflojar, un primer tiempo de alguna manera llevado, segundo tiempo que podría tener muchas más características de fútbol, pero nos golpean los dos goles, ¿no? Sobre todo el autogol del primer, la primera jugada de tiro libre, donde se debe parar la jugada mucho antes, y después un penalti que físicamente es mano, pero no es la intención ni el gesto de ataque o de defensa total del balón de nuestro jugador, ¿no? Entonces uno ya inmediatamente observa cuál es el fenómeno del partido.
Yeah, so he's saying that in the first half the game was more balanced. In the second half, with the own goal that took a toll, and then for the second goal, there was contact with the player's hand, but it wasn't intentional. It's an interpretation of the law, and
next.
Usted dice que había intención de neutralizar a Eric desde el principio y que había, digamos que sugiere cierta forma de juego brusco. ¿En ese sentido cómo visualiza el arbitraje del partido de hoy?
No me pareció correcto, Monsieur.
She was asking about Australia's trying to neutralize Albert Ellis, aggressive and a lot of fouls. So how does he feel about the refereeing in this match?
Así se lo expresamos al árbitro, al juez de línea y al cuarto árbitro, que no era correcto lo que estaba haciendo, que sabíamos perfectamente identificable que iban a bajarlo, como se habla popularmente, como fuera, para eliminarlo del partido.
He spoke to the fourth official and the linesman about the intentions, the clear intentions of Australia. They were trying to neutralize Ellis with constant fouls and aggressive overall with Ellis.
So
she's asking if Coach Pinto has any advice for head coach Ricardo Gareca of Peru for the match Peru versus New Zealand tomorrow.
Qué bueno, con toda la confianza y con todas las ganas. Me parece que es el momento histórico que Perú debe volver al mundo internacional como hiciera un mundial.
It's an historical moment for Peru, and they should play the game with every intention, and hopefully they make it to the World Cup.
No more questions?
Thank you.
Gracias.
That was Honduras coach Jorge Luis Pinto talking about the aggression of the Australians and maybe the fact that the referee may have missed a couple of things there. But that's all forgotten for him now. Australia's going to the World Cup in Russia in 2018. After the break, we're coming back to Calcio Cafe and listening to some of the post-match reaction from some of the jubilant players in the Socceroos squad. This is Calcio Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
FNR, Football Nation Radio. Calcio Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Yes, it's a great morning across Australia, live across Australia. It's FNR, Football Nation Radio. It is the day after the great win of Socceroos over Honduras in the World Cup qualifying playoff. It means that the team goes to Russia for the fourth time in a row in a World Cup since 2006. Fantastic effort by Ange Postecoglou and his players. Of course, the players were jubilant after the game, and we start off by having a listen to Mila Jedinak, the match winner, talking to Fox Sports.
I am joined by Mila Jedinak, the NAB Socceroo of the match. $1,000 coming your way. I mean, just a cherry on the top of the cake, but how good is this? Yeah. What does this feel like?
Yeah, it's a bit hard to describe. It's unreal. You know, we knew it was always going to be a difficult qualification campaign, but this makes it very, very special. To do it in front of our home fans in such a, you know, do-or-die contest, it's always, we didn't really want it that way, but it's happened, and you know, we're very grateful that we're going to another World Cup.
You've got the Australian flag draped over you, the match ball in your hand. You said it's the first one that you've got. You're going to another World Cup, Mila.
Yeah, it's extra special. I mean, it was our duty as a nation of football players to get this job done. You know, we were set out on a task 2.5 years ago, and we set it in our way, and you know, we stuck to our guns, and you know, we got here in the end, and now it's time to enjoy this moment and look forward to what is going to be a big 2018.
There's obviously a reason they call you Captain Courageous. Two from the spot tonight. One took a deflection, But you know you'll go with three goals, right?
Oh, I'll take them all, to be honest. It wouldn't have mattered who scored. I'm happy to chip in. But look, we got the job done tonight, and that's all that matters.
Huge congratulations.
Thank you very much.
With thanks to Fox Sports and Tara Rushton there, that's Millie Jedinak, the captain, courageous last night. He got a hat-trick in Australia's 3-1 win over Honduras. One guy that we don't know what we're going to do without him when he end up retiring, but Timmy Cahill, he spoke after the game also to Fox Sports.
Well, Tim Cahill, another World Cup. Does the feeling get any sweeter?
You know what? It's unbelievable. It's like we knew it was going to happen, and I know you can't be overconfident, but when the boss spoke to me 4 years ago about the journey and he told me what we were going to do, I believed him. And we're standing here today, and you know, it doesn't feel like a surprise. It feels like it was meant to be, and I'm just so privileged to still be playing and to be a part of such an amazing group of lads.
How does it feel here tonight at ANZ Stadium to finally get the job done? You've travelled more kilometres, played more games than any other side on the way to a World Cup.
It feels amazing. And the thing is like, we were ready. The game away, the game here, the way it's gone for us. I just, you know, I've got to praise the boss a hell of a lot. And we knew it was meant to be. We knew it was going to happen to be a part of this journey and help qualify my country for 4 World Cups is something I'll be very proud of, I suppose, when I get older, even older.
What is it about you? You say getting older, even older. But as time goes on, you're scoring more goals. I mean, the woodwork denied you tonight, but just.
No, I think for me, it's I look after my body. I take great pride in being a part of this, and can't thank everyone who played a part in getting my ankle right and putting in the effort. But, you put in the hard work, you get your rewards. But this is easy playing in this team. You know, I've just got to be in good areas, and they take care of my body, and they preserve me well. And I feel like a young kid. I know I'm 38 next month, but my job's just to put my body on the line for these guys, like Mille has done tonight. You see, tonight we lead with Mille. We had Millsy in the middle of the lineup. We had me in the back as we walked out, and we just wanted to show a presence of what we stand for as a group of players and what we stand for the last 4 years, not even the 2.5 journey of qualifying for a World Cup. So I believed him 4 years ago when he tried to convince me to keep playing, and I still believe him now, and I've got a lot of respect for him because we've done it our way, and that's all that matters.
So 38 years old in a month and 38 years old and going to Russia, yes?
You know, for me now, I've got to make some big decisions on, the level of where I'm playing at and what I'm going to do. But we'll just enjoy this for now because I need game time. And this is all I wanted. I knew it was going to happen. It's only a matter of time. So, I can't wait because I'm excited for the future.
So the door's still open?
Never close a door on something like this because when you're inspired to play and when you see the fans and when you with this group of lads, you know, I would have done anything to be a part of this group, and I'm going to do anything to stay a part of it. And it's just it's an amazing feeling, and it's something I'm indebted to this country for allowing me to follow my dreams and do what I love.
Well, a huge congratulations on tonight. Enjoy the win. Enjoy going to the World Cup.
Thanks, Tara. Thank you.
That is, with thanks to Fox Sports, that is Timmy Cahill after the game last night, talking about having a think about the future. He needs more game time. I wonder what he's suggesting there. I would have thought someone like him has to be on that flight to Russia next year. Another guy who has been a mainstay, probably doesn't get the credit he deserves, but Matty Ryan in goals, a custodian who's done such a wonderful job for Australia throughout the World Cup campaign, really rarely putting a foot wrong. He spoke to Tara Rushton, Fox Sports, after the game last night also.
How about this man through the entire World Cup qualifying campaign for Australia, Matty Ryan, Australia's number one, and you're off to the World Cup. How special a feeling is this, Matty?
There's no words to describe it, to be honest. We did it the Australian way, the longest and hardest way, but full credit to you know, the whole nation tonight getting behind us, and you know, we're there. I mean, when we didn't go straight away after the Thailand game, qualified directly, I mean, I couldn't imagine that the summer without a World Cup for, you know, for our nation, and and this man.
That's Timmy Cahill with his mobile phone as per normal.
never puts it down. If you put it down, you probably score more goals, but no, he's a legend. Yeah, so proud of the boys and our efforts, and you know, we're there, and no better feeling.
I get the feeling there's going to be a lot of beer spilt over the next 12 hours or so. What about half time, Matt? It was so tense around the ground, around the nation. What was the feeling amongst the players?
Yeah, I thought we were, you know, we had the majority of the possession, you know, like we do in, you know, lots of games. You know, I thought we were pretty solid at the back. They weren't really causing us too much trouble. Throughout the whole game, we didn't really have too much to do, to be honest. But, you know, that's part of our game plan, you know. We grind teams down. We wear them down. Obviously, you know, being the two games with the first leg, you know, we ran them around there as well. And we knew that was going to help us coming into this game. And, you know, when, you know, you push and push, eventually something's going to break, you know. So, you know, thankfully we got a bit of luck there, I think, with the first goal, with the deflection. And then, yeah, you know, we just kept going. And, you know, full credit to us. We got there. We're there.
Just quickly, we haven't got much time. The boss, how relieved are you for him?
I don't think relieved's the word. Just happy, over the moon for everyone. You know, I know there's been a lot of scrutiny in the media and that stuff, you know, towards him and towards, you know, the playing group and all these sorts of things, the changes. But, you know, he had his plan along the way, and, you know, we stuck to it. We bought into it as a playing group, as a total group, you know, with the staff included. And, you know, when obviously the critics and all that were there, part of the game, you know, you just deal with it. You know, we keep working on what we practice on, and, you know, keep going forward. And, you know, he set out, you know, to change the perception of Australian football, that we're not a footballing nation. You know, we don't know how to play football, or that hoo-ha, which, you know, the whole world thought about us. And, you know, we're there now, going to, you know, be at, you know, the world's biggest footballing tournament, playing, you know, a brand of football that's going to be exciting for everyone to watch. And, you know, there's nothing better than that, so very happy.
For the fourth time in a row as well, and you're back to the Premier League this weekend. Well done, Matty. Good luck and enjoy.
Cheers, guys. Thank you. Woo!
That's Matty Ryan there, speaking after the game last night. He had such a superb qualifying series as a goalkeeper, as part of a team that's now got to the fourth World Cup after the great work of the 2006 generation. You can watch the English Premier League live and all 64 games of the 2018 World Cup on Optus Sport. An expert analyst for Optus Sport, and a person who really was one of the guys responsible for us, you know, beating that drought 32 years ago to get to the World Cup in Germany, is Mark Swartz, and he joins us on the line. Good morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the line. You were such an integral part of the golden generation that got us to the World Cup for the first time in 32 years back in 2006. The boys have got have followed on from you, and now it's a fourth straight World Cup qualification, going to Russia in 2018. How are you feeling today?
No, I mean, I'm relieved in one sense, but I'm also ecstatic, you know, that Australia's going to be at the World Cup again. It's where we need to be. It's where we belong. You know, as Italy and the Netherlands have shown, there's no divine right. You have to earn it. And Australia certainly earned their place at the World Cup. And, you know, I think the performance over the two legs against Honduras were excellent. And I think they proved a lot of critics wrong. And, you know, they under huge amount of pressure, they produced two very good performances and rightly at the World Cup in Russia next year.
As a player who was so responsible for getting us to the World Cup in 2006, along with you know, the golden generation at that time, but you had the drama of the penalty shootout to deal with in that game in 2005. You know, what would you be feeling? Well, you obviously know what the boys are feeling right now this morning after, you know, letting it sink in for a few hours.
Well, a huge amount of relief, first and foremost. You know, it's a really long campaign. It's very draining mentally, physically. You know, these guys are playing week in, week out for their club teams, whether it's in Australia, whether it's in Europe. in other parts of Asia. They're travelling, you know, they're finishing a game for their clubs all weekend. They're jumping on a plane. They're travelling thousands and thousands of miles of different conditions. It takes a massive toll on players. And at this stage, it's just an enormous amount of sense of relief, joy of reaching a goal, a goal. There were so many ups and downs throughout the qualifying stage, and when you get to this level, this end of the qualification, with one place left up for grabs, all the eyes of the world are watching this one game, and the guys will come away with a huge amount of confidence and relief is probably the best way of describing it.
You talked about the travels and the sacrifices and the time you spend together as a group. Obviously, there's a strong bond that's built with that, and if you get success, that bond is there forever. It doesn't matter whether you become a pundit later on or whether you become a coach, whether you don't see someone for 10 years, but those guys that you went to the 2006 World Cup with and consequent World Cups after that, you must have bonds with those players for the rest of your life.
Oh, certainly, you do. And you've accomplished so much. When I mention about sacrifice, it's more about, of course, it's not a sacrifice to play for your country. It's an honour to play for your country. It's just that, you take on so much more responsibility. You've got the responsibility of a nation, the responsibility as a footballer, as an individual, to carry that responsibility, to act and to perform at the highest level. So when I say sacrifice, I say it in the nicest possible way and the most honourable way, you can have it. But those bonds that you form, the relationships you form with the group, not just the players, but the personnel, they're so important. The medical staff, the doctor, from the kit man to everyone that's involved, they all play an integral part of helping the team, get to their peak level, to perform at their maximum, to be in the right frame of mind when it comes to match day. And it starts right from the bottom all the way up, and it's a tremendous achievement, and that achievement is forever in your memories and one that you'll never forget, and those guys will always have a special place. And you always have a special relationship with them.
Now, Mark, once you've got to this point, I know they won last night, as you guys did in 2005, beating Uruguay. You spent a bit of time enjoying it, but at what point do you all, as a collective, turn your attention to the actual task on the world stage, that next World Cup?
Well, going back to 2005, that celebration was literally a couple of hours. Because the vast majority of us want to play in the next day, back to our various clubs around the world. And, you're still on a high, obviously. You've got the hours in Australia still before you get on a plane. And the minute you get on a plane, your focus then is on your next match. It's that brutal. It's that quick. It's that, that's just the way of being a professional athlete. As the saying goes, you're only as good as your last game, and that is so true. You get judged every week. Every time you put on a shirt, whether it's for your club or your country, you are judged every time, and you need to perform at the highest level. So the focus will be, the minute they get on that plane tomorrow, those guys will be how they need to get themselves in the best possible shape to perform for their club teams, because ultimately the end goal is to play as often as they possibly can for their country, or their club, sorry, first and foremost, to enable them to be selected for the national team and be at peak form and peak fitness for the World Cup, which is, this is what these guys have been working towards. This is how much, they've given their time for. This is what it means to them. You saw by the celebrations, you saw by the support they received, everyone played their part, and it just shows you the amount of emotion and the amount of support these guys have received.
Your squad back in 2006, Mark, were all playing at big clubs. They were playing regularly at big clubs. They were important players in their leagues. Not the same could be said about this group. I mean, as a collective, they've achieved wonderful things. And, and some of them are still not playing regularly for their clubs, and some of them aren't playing in big leagues either. Would you recommend or advise them, those guys who aren't playing regularly, to really focus on the World Cup and make sure their next move to a club or encourage them to move to a club where they do get game time, so they're at their best when they get to a World Cup?
Well, I think it's vital. You know, I think it's vital for guys to be playing week in, week out. You know, and even more so when you're talking about a World Cup, because you know you're playing against the best of the best. You know, it's at a tournament where by you know you've worked so hard for, you've gone, you know, 3 years of qualification. It's everything's geared up towards the World Cup. You want to be in the best physical shape, the best the best form of your career when you hit the ground in Russia. So, you know, the guys that are not playing week in, week out, I see, you know, Timmy Cahill mentioned himself that he has to take a long, hard look at his situation in club football. He needs to be playing more regularly. He knows he's got that experience, and it goes with every other player. You know, and you know, for me, what we need to do as Australian players, yes, we need to evolve, and the team has evolved, and it's been great at times to watch. Obviously, there's always going to be troughs in that progress. However, the signs have been really positive at times throughout this qualifying stage, and ultimately the end result is how people will be judged. But I think, you know, what's important is that these guys go out and play and try and play at the highest level. And you know, Europe is still by far the highest level. Players need to push the boundaries. They need to really test themselves. And they really need to, you know, put their reputation on the line. If they do that, they'll go to the next level. You know, we will start to produce even better players, and that's what's important. We need to continue to improve as a nation and as individuals.
Of course, the guys have achieved wonderful things by getting to Russia in 2018, but the big talking point in the lead-up to it was Ange Postecoglou's future, with a story coming out that he may be moving on, whether they qualify or not, in November. Hopefully, we'll find out very soon. In your mind, how important is it for Australian football and also the players that this gets resolved sooner rather than later?
Well, I think it's very important. You know, I think that, you know, thinking about if we're November, the draw is, you know, a couple of weeks away, which, okay, is obviously a very important moment. However, it's not imperative that that situation or the manager's position needs to be sorted one way or the other. Obviously, you know, Ange is in the prime position. You know, it would be a surprise if he did stand down. But by all accounts, you know, seeing him physically, seeing his reaction, you know, he looks like someone who's obviously had the weight of the world on his shoulders. You know, listening to his comments, reading about his comments, you know, it's been a huge strain on him and his family. You know, that all plays a part in someone's decision. But you know, I think the sooner decisions are made, the better. You know, whether Ange decides to stay on and take Australia to the World Cup, that, I think it's fantastic news for the Socceroos. If he doesn't, then that decision needs to be made sooner rather than later, and then the search for the new manager needs to happen as quickly as possible. And that the new manager, whoever it is, if that's going to be the way they're going to go, needs to be given as much time as possible to prepare the side in the best possible way for a World Cup.
Now, Mark, you'll be going to Russia next year with Optus. Optus Sport, they're covering all 64 games of the World Cup on their platform. And of course, you were a former player who went to a number of World Cups and performed in a distinguished fashion. Now you're going to be a pundit. How different is that going to be for you?
Well, I've had a bit of time now since I've retired. I mean, was it 18 months now since I've stopped playing, and I've been involved in the media world since then. So it's been a gradual adjustment. I mean, I did quite a lot of media work towards the end of my career anyway. So the change hasn't been, you know, hasn't been a huge shock. You know, I was ready to retire. I knew myself that it was the right time. You know, I thought I pretty much got everything out of my career that I could possibly do. You know, retiring at the age of 43 is I think a fair stint, a fair go at it. But you know, for me, it's great to have the ability to be involved still in some way or another, see people, you know, catch up with people that you've formed a relationship with, you've played against. There's mutual respect for, and you know, I'm on the other side of the fence, and I still want to have that integrity. I still want to, you know, have respect from players and give players respect. But I also, you know, have a different kind of angle when you, as a player, you kind of have a different feel of how players are feeling. You've got a bit more inside information, inside knowledge of what players are going through, and I think that helps you when it comes to talking about you know, how difficult situations are, how hard it's going to be for the Socceroos at the World Cup, this whole campaign, what a difficult process it is. I think people underestimate it. But, you know, it's all part of the learning curve. And for me, you know, having experienced it, I think it's, you know, I can use that in a great way in my new career in the media world.
Well, you're doing a fine job of it, Mark. Everything I watch when you're interviewing players, you do it really, really well. And like you said, with integrity. So you can watch all the English Premier League live on Optus Sport and also the 64 games of the 2018 World Cup on Optus Sport. Thank you very much. Expert analyst for Optus Sport, Mark Switzer, legend of the golden generation in Australian football. Thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure, mate. All the best.
Good on you. That's Mark Switzer joining us on FNR Football Nation Radio. That brings Calcio Cafe to an end. It's a big, big day of celebration across Australia with the Socceroos qualifying for the 2018 World Cup. There'll be plenty more shows that will be discussing this. FNR News later on with all the latest. Of course, we've got the Euro show coming up today. Also, the Journos Football Extra. Plenty of shows to talk about the big achievements. Of course, the 40 Agos later on tonight, so plenty of shows talking about the achievements of the Socceroos today. So you can podcast this show on iTunes and SoundCloud. But until next time, may you have a fantastic day in football.